You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Carolyn Vanderweel.
And I'm Ron Bronson. This is the Daily Local News for Thursday, May 10th, 2018.
We have a very generous community, and we have a lot of support, but it would take an enormous amount of support to fill the void that is likely to happen if these cuts go through.
Congress is currently considering benefit cuts to SNAP recipients. WFHB's Jonah Chester talks with local food charities about the potential increase in demand if the cuts go through. That's coming up on today's WFHB feature report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, our weekly public opinion feature, Voices in the Street, asks your friends and neighbors about Tuesday's primary election. But first, your daily headlines.
An affordable housing development planned for the former Thompson plant property is moving forward. Monroe County Commissioners approved an agreement yesterday transferring up to 14 acres of the 84-acre property to Habitat for Humanity of Monroe County. The property is located off South Rogers Street. According to County Attorney Jeff Cockrell, the transfer will come in two phases, a 4-acre phase and a 10-acre phase. Daryl Nair is the CEO of Habitat for Humanity of Monroe County. He says the contract with the county is a big step towards creating more affordable housing.
It's the opportunity to put 350 to 450 units of affordable housing units onto a site that is multi-income. And being able to, when we think about the housing spectrum, emergency family shelter on one end, single family housing on the other, and being able to fill the gap.
Nair expects a dramatic impact will come from developing the Thompson property in conjunction with Habitat's own property nearby.
That 4 acres that is included in this agreement allows us to increase the capacity of a piece of property that we have just adjacent to the Thompson site. And in total would mean 48 units of single family housing that could be built. And we're anticipating that would break ground sometime in the next 18 months to 2 years for that portion. That's, if you want to put it into inventory, that's about 4 years of inventory for Habitat to be able to build.
Nair says a number of potential community partners are expressing strong interest in the project. He told Commissioner Amanda Barge more ideas for the overall project are still under development. He gave on-site childcare as an example.
I mean, and this is our opportunity for creativity that we can think. Our community has craved collaboration across not-for-profits for years. Mm-hmm. And our ability to work together to bring county, not-for-profit, city, and private developers together is the dream. That is an amazing success story if and when we are able to achieve that. And so that for me is another exciting component. So thank you so much.
And I would say that when you look at adverse childhood experiences, housing is actually one of the trauma risk factors, and we're actually maybe potentially changing or correcting a cycle here with providing housing for kids and families.
According to County Attorney Cockrell, a 501c3 management organization will be established in association with the development. Habitat for Humanity and the county would each have representation on an entity's board.
In the same meeting, the commissioners declared Friday, May 11th as Housing for Hoosiers Day. The special designation is meant to draw attention to the need for affordable rental housing. Advocates say low-income families, seniors, and people with disabilities are especially in need. South Central Indiana Housing Opportunities, or SIO, is behind the declaration. The organization is promoting its new website, housingforhoosiers.org. SIO board member Patrick Murray says the goal is to facilitate equitable housing for households with a range of income levels.
Renters in the community can learn about this and acquire more information in terms of what their rights are in terms of a tenant. It's also a place for landlords to list their units and their prices. I believe there are at least 150 landlords already signed up, identified on a Google map that's part of the website.
SIO board member Nordia McNish sees the website as especially helpful for low-income renters.
A lot of the time, low-income housing individuals do not know their rights, their responsibility, so that causes a lot of court procedures that could be avoided, where people, the landlords as well as the tenants, know their responsibilities so they can act accordingly.
That website, again, is housing, the numeral 4, Hoosiers.org.
Letter carriers are hoping residents will make them work extra harder this Saturday. That's according to Josh Peterson, president of the local branch of the National Association of Letter Carriers. The carrier's annual Stamp Out Hunger campaign takes place this Saturday, May 12th, and benefits the Hoosier Hills Food Bank.
One of the best things about this food drive is we try to make it easy for everyone. You don't have to go anywhere. It's right there at your house. You can leave it right at your mailbox. And this past weekend through yesterday, we passed out reminder food drive cards to all of our customers. Most of our customers also received a bag from one of the local grocery stores to even urge you to fill the bag. And as we prepare for the food drive this year, I want to let you know that the letter carriers hope that you will make us work really hard on Saturday.
Peterson told the Monroe County Commissioners yesterday the carrier's goal is to collect 100,000 pounds of food. He said the Stamp Out Hunger campaign is held in May in order to help Hoosier Hills get through the summer months. Liz Fidel of Monroe County United Way asked community members specifically for canned food.
We want people to donate mostly canned meats, canned fruits, canned vegetables. Please don't donate anything expired. That'll just have to be thrown away. Open packages are a problem. We can't accept those either. Perishable food is not going to work. And then glass jars, of course, have a risk of breaking, and that can contaminate both the item that you donate as well as other things if they break open.
Fidel says 8 collection barrels have been set up downtown and 8 more can be found on the Indiana University campus. The county commissioners proclaim Saturday, May 12th as Letter Carrier Food Drive Day. According to the proclamation, nearly 20% of Monroe County's children are food insecure.
Indiana residents voted in favor of 12 school referendums during the May 8th primary election. The Associated Press reports the endorsements include measures to increase property taxes to boost funding for local school districts. 8 districts throughout the state applied for operating referendums to help fund daily expenses such as salaries and academic programs. 4 districts applied for capital referendums, which are used to fund building maintenance and construction projects. Under current Indiana law, schools are awarded funding based on enrollment. Each student is worth a certain amount of money from the state. Residents can, however, vote to increase their own property taxes above the state recommended cap to increase funding for local schools. Monroe County residents have already done this twice in support of the Monroe County Community School Corporation. The past 2 years have seen a string of successes for school referendums in Indiana. The passage rate since 2016 has been nearly 80%, while historically, school referendums have an approval rate of around 50%, according to the AP. The increased success rate is partially attributed to more sophisticated campaigning by school districts. This marks a win for Indiana public schools, which have had a difficult year. In January, the Indiana General Assembly had to take emergency action after there was an $11.8 million funding gap in the state's education budget. The actual enrollment count of the schools had exceeded the enrollment projections. This resulted in an $11 deficit for each enrolled student. In addition, the Muncie Community School Corporation is facing a takeover by Ball State University during next week's special legislative session. The school would be given a one-time $12 million loan to pay off a $10 million debt. In exchange, the 5-person Muncie Community School Board would be disbanded and replaced with a 7-person board appointed by Ball State. The property tax increases from the referendums are not statewide. For WFHB, I'm Carolyn Vandeweel.
And I'm Ron Bronson. Support for WFHB is provided by attorneys Eric Slotograph and Ben Niehoff, is located at 200 East 3rd Street in downtown Bloomington, assisting families and small businesses with meeting the legal challenges of life, providing estate planning and wills, as well as family law services. More information is available at 812-332-6000 or online at slotographlegal.com. Slotograph Niehoff, law for business, community, and life.
There will be lane changes and closures on both the 2nd and 3rd Street bridges starting this evening, according to the Indiana Department of Transportation. All traffic on the 2nd Street overpass will be shifted to the south side of the bridge starting tonight until further notice. Construction crews will be working to install new lighting, sidewalks, and support structures on the north side of the bridge. Also beginning tonight, there will be nightly closure of one westbound lane on the 3rd Street bridge to allow crews to move a water line. The lane closure will be nightly from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. until next Monday. According to the Monroe County Public Works Director, Lisa Ridge, work continues on the Fullerton Pike project with a focus on Roar Road.
Roar Road is closed now for the next approximately 150 days, which is around August. The completion for that project is around the middle of November at this point.
On the upside, Ridge says roadwork at the intersection of Tap Road and I-69 is on track to be completed in the next 2 weeks. Ridge expects that the opening of that interchange will ease traffic congestion constrictions at the 2nd and 3rd Street bridges. Authorities urge drivers to reduce their speed, pay attention to changing traffic patterns, and drive with no distractions. All construction activity is weather dependent, and the schedule is subject to change, according to NDOT.
The U.S. Congress is currently drafting a new farm bill. In addition to providing insurance and subsidies for farmers and agricultural businesses, the bill would also cut benefits and increase work requirements for SNAP recipients. WFHB correspondent Jonah Chester brings us this story in today's feature report.
Over 2 million Indiana residents are at risk of going hungry because they do not qualify for federal food assistance. According to a study recently published by the nonprofit group Feeding America, a third of Indiana residents who are considered food insecure aren't eligible for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. And that number may be about to climb higher. Congress is currently drafting a new farm bill. The bill, which is rewritten every 4 years, provides subsidies and insurance to farmers and agricultural businesses. It also serves as the regulatory legislation for SNAP. The most recent draft of the bill would expand work requirements for SNAP recipients. Currently, able-bodied adults between the ages of 18 to 49 receive benefits as long as they work or are enrolled in a job training program for at least 20 hours a week. The new bill would increase the working age to 65. It would also raise the minimum weekly hours to 25 a week by 2026. Policy and food aid organizations such as Feeding America believe that these increased restrictions and cutbacks will cause a dramatic increase in the amount of food insecure people who do not qualify for SNAP. This increase would put a significant strain on food charities. The new regulations were introduced shortly after President Trump's announcement earlier this year that he plans to cut SNAP benefits by $213 billion over the next decade. That eliminates approximately 30% of the service's annual budget. Part of Trump's plan for the cutbacks includes removing approximately 4 million people from the program, according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. SNAP provides aid to 40 million people throughout the United States. It is also the largest part of the farm bill, taking up 80% of the budget from 2014 to 2018, according to the Congressional Budget Office and the USDA. Emily Weicker Bryant is the executive director of Feeding Indiana's Hungry, which provides support for 11 different food banks throughout Indiana.
Congress is in the process of writing a new farm bill. The House of Representatives has their bill that we expect them to possibly vote on within the next 2 weeks. And we have very serious concerns about some changes that they seek to implement to the SNAP program that would make more people ineligible. You know, as we see, the charitable sector is already providing the only means of assistance for nearly a third of Hoosiers. And the House Farm Bill would cause more and more folks to be in that category, by creating more barriers to enrollment and really coming at the bill to, you know, in the concept of making changes of improvements, but coming at it with an axe that will, you know, in the end impact children and seniors and veterans and ultimately cause more people to be hungry.
The amount of food insecure residents who aren't eligible for SNAP varies widely throughout the state. According to the Feeding America study, Monroe County has the second highest food insecurity rate in the state, only behind Marion County. 25,000 residents are considered food insecure. 7,500 of those residents are considered ineligible for federal assistance and must rely heavily on local charities. Many families who are food insecure but are ineligible for SNAP also don't qualify for other federal food aid programs, such as free and reduced lunches for students. 1 in 5 children in southern Indiana go hungry every day, according to data from Feeding Indiana's Hungry. One of the current issues that federal food programs are facing is the correlation between poverty and food insecurity. According to Bryant, just because these families aren't considered in need by the federal government doesn't mean they don't require aid.
Well, food insecurity and poverty are two different measures. They're absolutely related, and so with poverty often comes food insecurity, but it's not exclusive, and not every food insecure person lives in poverty. And so what we see when we compare food insecurity data to poverty data is that 31% of Hoosiers who identify as food insecure or at risk of hunger don't have the resources to be able to provide enough food for their families. They also have an income that is above, in this case it would be 185% of poverty, which makes them ineligible for anything like free and reduced lunch, summer meals, or SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
According to Bryant, food charities are attempting to make up the difference in helping residents ineligible for federal aid, but without SNAP benefits for those that need them, it's an uphill battle.
So in Indiana, last year, there were just under $1 billion of SNAP benefits that were spent in more than 5,000 retailers across the state. For every one meal that the Feeding America network provides, which are our member food banks, there are 12 SNAP meals. To scale, it is a much larger and much more direct program.
The local affiliate of Feeding Indiana's Hungry is Hoosier Hills Food Bank. Julio Alonzo is the executive director of Hoosier Hills.
Well, Hoosier Hills Food Bank serves a 6-county area, and we collect and distribute food primarily to other agencies. We serve 100 nonprofits, food pantries, soup kitchens, youth programs, senior centers in those 6 counties. And then we also have some direct service programs of our own. We serve about 1,000 seniors every month through our senior food box program, and then we have a mobile pantry that goes to 4 communities and serves individuals directly. So we move about 4.2 million pounds of food each year to all of those agencies and to individuals.
If the Farm Bill is passed in its current form, it will mean that Hoosier Hills Food Bank and many other local food aid groups will have to face a substantial increase in demand, an increase that, according to Alonzo, many charities aren't prepared to handle.
We're concerned about the proposed Farm Bill on a couple of levels. One is just that SNAP is an incredibly important resource for people who are at risk of hunger. We don't want to see that taken away from people who need it. But secondly, if that does happen and these cuts do go through, we're almost certain that's going to drive more people to food pantries and kitchens and places like that and place a significantly higher demand on our services.
Are you guys prepared to handle that demand if it does increase?
Well, we're as prepared as we can be at the moment. We know we're not completely meeting the need as it stands. So anything more than that is harder for us to handle. But if something like this happens, we will work diligently to make sure that we try to increase our incoming food so that we can get more out to the agencies that we work with and the clients that that we and they serve. It's going to be a struggle. I can't say that that's not going to be the case. We're already stretched. It's going to be an even greater stretch if we have to suddenly serve a lot more people. And unfortunately, it's unlikely that we're going to be able to fill the gap. We just can't. We can't provide resources on that level. We have a very generous community, and we have a lot of support, but it would take an enormous amount of support to fill the void that is likely to happen if these cuts go through.
Alonzo says that while charitable organizations provide a significant amount of help to those in need, their services just can't compare to massive federally funded programs such as SNAP.
for every one meal that we provide, SNAP provides 12. So the importance of the SNAP program really can't be overstated in keeping people from facing hunger. So some of the new requirements that are being added are unreasonable and are going to make people leave the program. And frankly, I believe that's the intent. The other problem is that they're going to place a lot more burdens and requirements on each of the states to create and implement training programs and things like that. And we've tried some of these things before, and they don't really work. There's an attempt here to fix a problem that doesn't exist in the name of trying to save some money.
Alonzo says that the most recent draft of the bill doesn't do much to address the underlying causes of food insecurity. He says the bill serves more as a punitive measure than one that provides actual aid.
Well, right now what we're encouraging people to do is call their congressman and ask them to vote no on this version of the farm bill. We need them to go back to the table and find something that's going to be less punitive and that's actually going to help us address food insecurity and not make the problem worse. So that's really the first step. But assuming this does pass or some version of it passes, we are clearly going to need more resources. We're going to need more volunteers. We're going to need more food. We're going to need more financial support. And we will definitely be working with our partners to call that to the attention of the community and to seek the support necessary to meet an increased demand.
Hoosier Hills Food Bank currently serves approximately 26,000 people throughout southwest Indiana, according to data collected by Feeding America. Alonzo says that number is most likely inaccurate. The actual count is higher. For WFHB, I'm Jonah Chester.
Support comes from MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next is our weekly public opinion segment, Voices in the Street.
Welcome to Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion feature. Voices in the Street provides an opportunity for people in our community to share their opinions and perspectives on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents.
With the primary election over, Voices in the Streets asked your friends and neighbors if you voted, who you voted for, and why.
So far, things are looking up.
I voted for Liz Watson, Christine Talley Haseman, there's a lot of them, Margie Rice. There were a lot on. I did it on election day. It was good. There wasn't a line, which was honestly disappointing. I kind of wish there were more people voting, but it was fast for me, so that was good.
There certainly wasn't much happening. Well, in 2016, I thought there was a high turnout in the general election, at least. In the primary yesterday, I haven't seen the paper today, so I don't know what the numbers were, but there was certainly hardly anybody voting when I was voting.
I know nothing about the candidates. I know nothing about the issues. I haven't bothered to educate myself on it. It's effort for stuff I don't care about.
Oh, yeah, I should have done that. I just, and I could have done that on Monday. I don't know why I didn't. Anyway, the people I wanted won anyway, so.
We registered as Democrats.
I voted for Watson.
I took the Republican ballot.
Democratic, straight Democratic.
I took a Republican ticket.
Oh, Democrat.
I voted, used a Democratic ballot this time to vote for Margie Rice for prosecutor and Jamie Marshall for counsel for Judge Chris Gall. Those were the main ones.
This was my second year doing early voting. You know, it was fantastic, very organized. When I first pulled up, the line was down the block, and I thought, this is going to be an ordeal, but it wasn't. It was like 10 minutes, went right in there.
So I voted as part of the Democratic primary. So I voted for Dan Cannon because I thought he was a little bit more centrist, so I thought he had a better chance against his Republican opponent. I voted for Jeff Bradley in one of the judge races because I know him and he seemed like a good guy. He didn't win, unfortunately. Miss Lee Moore because I liked her ideas and I liked her commitment to the environment. Gosh, those are the ones that stick out, but I'm there is a whole slate of...
Really easy. I mean, there was hardly anybody there. I mean, that made it easy, but it went right through. I'll tell you who I didn't vote for, though. I mean, some people are just... Some Republicans got their head up their ass with this president we've got now. I didn't vote for Trey Hollingsworth, if that means anything. I didn't vote for any of the Senate candidates. They were all terrible. I mean, they just sound like kids and fight with each other.
I got there about 5:15, so that's probably a more busy time. There were several people in line ahead of me with some problems, provisional ballots, address changes. But that's what happens when you wait that late. I was happy I got there in time. Other than that, everyone was nice, and it was quick and easy.
It was good. We voted early, but it was quick and easy.
Right.
And we were going to be out of town. We just got back. And
well, I voted in the Democratic primary. Yeah, I like physically going down to the polling site. I suppose it's a silly reason. If I ever got sick or something, I'd feel pretty bad about that. But I actually like the... like going to the polling station and casting my vote.
Over the years, I think the voter turnout is fairly apathetic.
I did. Always vote.
I did. I voted on Saturday. Well, it was because it was convenient. I was down at the farmer's market already, and so I wanted to just take advantage of the time. My wife and I were there, and we had our boys, and so we feel like it's important for them to see their roles as citizens. So we took our seven-year-old and two-year-old with us. And they like getting the stickers and everything. So, yeah, it was fun. It was really disappointing because I think I saw the 20% or so showed up and voted. So that was unfortunate and disappointing to see.
This has been Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, featuring candid commentary from your friends and neighbors on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. Voices in the Street is a volunteer-powered production of our News and Public Affairs Department here on WFHB 91.3 and 98.1 FM, community radio for South Central Indiana.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Jonah Chester, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Jonah Chester.
Voices in the Street was produced by Jenna Janikowski. Our engineer today is Wes Martin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Ron Bronson.
And I'm Carolyn Vandeweel. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered independent daily news program.
Stay tuned for Big Talk with Michael Glab, a WFHB news and public affairs program highlighting the issues, events, and people in South Central Indiana. That's coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at WFHB.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.